How many of you are glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? Just to remind you that there are several across the country, across the world, I should say, that can't assemble like ourselves. So it is a gift and is a freedom that we have. So we need to use that. But it is good to be with all of you here this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at a verse today, and we're going to look at it pretty good. This is Matthew chapter 11, 28. It says, come unto me all who are weary. He says, come to me all of you who are weary and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. We're going to look at that this morning because we're still really struggling in our country right now, and many people are struggling. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is in his ministry, working it, making it as simple as possible, coming to a world that's full of brokenness, people with health problems, spiritual problems. Seems like the world is in a mess then. And Jesus comes and begins his ministry, and he shares this verse statement. He says, come to me. Come to me. He's speaking to people where they are. He's not looking at where and all the things that they're doing. He just says, come to me. Just stop where you are and change direction. Change direction. Come to me. What he's saying is, he's come to me. Come to Jesus and no one else. That message is still being spoken and delivered by God's word today. When Jesus said it, he's still speaking it when people read Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus is still saying, come to me. It's the first step of getting yourself in the right direction, listening to the voice of Jesus. It's not all these other things. It's getting your first step back in the right direction is moving and listening to Jesus. And then in that same sentence, he says, all of you. He says, come to me, all of you. He's not leaving anyone out. Almost like we have no excuse now. But he says, all of you. He's a call out to anyone, the somebodies, the nobodies, the anybodies. He's calling everybody out to come to him. To the lost and saved, come, receive salvation. To the saved, it's a reminder not to stray away. It's a reminder that if you strayed away, to get back to him, come back to him. Because Jesus is the only way to work it out. Jesus should be your everything. He should be your go-to for everything. But he doesn't stop. The sentence goes. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Just take a moment for a second. Kind of look and see what's going on around us. A few things I've written down. I couldn't remember them all, so I had to write these down. But one of these things that just becomes wearisome and we're getting tired is the COVID and the COVID deaths. At least most of us know at least one person who's died from COVID. Like that wasn't enough. It's the riots and the racism. Last year's election, political battles. But it wasn't even there. It was even close to worship services because of COVID, denominational divisions, school e-learning, to going to the store and going to a quick drive-thru. We had difficulties even in doing that. We have division. It's us against them and them against us. And I'll tell you what, aren't you right? You're always right, right? You're not. I want to remind you, you're not. And I want to remind you all too, and myself, I'm not either. But there is one who is right every single time. And his name is Jesus Christ, God's Son, his one and only Son. He became mask and no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. The rise of anger and hate and violence and depression and discouragement is up. Divorce and just a loss of human kindness and the joy of life. Then we came to the closing of churches where people, the churches are closing because people aren't coming back. Pastors are quitting. Lower church attendance. In most churches, their attendance is lower than it was before all the COVID. Suffering and pain are up due to drug and alcohol and gambling addictions and other addictions. Homelessness is up. Murders is up. Suicides are up. And crime is up. Some people and many people are just tired, weary, and just plain out exhausted. And people want to go check out. If they don't check out, they go numb out. Or they just throw in the towel and just start living off the street. They walk away from everything. They walk away from families. Violence is an all-time high. You think we have a sin problem? Think we have a problem that we just don't want to go to Christ. We're trying to rebel. The world wants to rebel. We want to rebel against the Word of God. We want to rebel against Jesus. And carrying all this stuff, you can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do it without Jesus. I don't know if you talk to many people, but there are a lot of people out here that are scared. They are just scared. Now, the Christians that I know that are walking with the Lord and securing their salvation, they're not perfect, but there's a solidness in their walk with the Lord. I'm telling you, those are the people that are strongest right now. Those are the strongest. Those are the people that are strongest. So Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. And this is what he says. And he says, I will give you rest. I'm going through the same, I live in the same world you do. But there is a peace. There's a peace that you can have, but only comes in Christ. And you just can't say that you have it. You got to experience it. You got to experience the Scripture to understand and know the power of the Scripture. And y'all know that I always say it's not just reading it, not just learning it, but it's experiencing the power of the Scriptures. Because Scriptures are powerful. Well, how are they powerful? When you experience the power of the Scripture. And Jesus says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I understand that. And many of you do too. Because you've experienced the Scripture. You allow it to work into your life because you come to Jesus. But there's times we will slip away, but we need to return to Him with all that we're doing because He says He will give you rest. Jesus is the only way to have peace in this broken world. Salvation in Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one that can give you peace in all situations. It's the personal things that do not allow to give us rest. There's the personal things in our lives that will not give us rest. There are some things that are in our lives. Now, those one things I just mentioned, those are things we're all a part of right now. I think this is why Jesus says that we are We are to share our burdens. The scripture says we are to share our burdens with one another. But right now we're living out these lists, and there's so much more on the list that I didn't even write down. But then, as a whole, then we're shrinking down to individually. There's some things I think that these are personal things that don't allow us to rest. It won't allow you to rest until you turn it over to Christ. The Bible says to cast all your anxiety on Him, on Jesus, because He cares for you. It's in the book of Peter. I believe it's 5:7. It's all over Scripture where we are to lay this stuff down at the Lord's feet. Give it to Him. One of those things that we struggle with in our personal lives that doesn't give us rest is when we are living a lie. We're living a lie, whether it's we are living a lie because we say we have Christ, but we don't have Christ. We're living a lie because we're trying to put a mask on our face and let the world see what we want them to see, but on the inside of that mask is who we really are, and we know who we are, and there is a lie, and we're trying to live that every day. And you will have no rest because it will not allow you to have rest. You got to exchange that for Christ. Jesus doesn't just take it away. You got to lay it down. You got to give it to Him and give Him yourself. You're not going to get rest taking that in and keeping it and have that relationship with Christ and think you can keep. But no, Jesus says, give it to Me. Not only with the lies, it's also worry. If you worry all the time, listen, you're worrying, and that's becoming the biggest part of your life. You worry all the time. Stop. Learn to turn it over and give it to Jesus. Worrying will give you no rest. It'll keep you up at night. Some of you know that. You still struggle with it because you won't let Jesus have it. And then there's those secrets. There's a secret is something that you know. Maybe somebody else knows. Maybe not, but you know. The world doesn't need to know about it. But maybe it's something you did you shouldn't have done. Maybe it's something you know. Whatever it is, or it's a secret of yours. And you've not. Let me tell you, when it's a secret like that and you're keeping it from Jesus, I want to remind you, He already knows about it. You just need to admit it to Him. You need to confess it to Him. Or work it out. Whatever you need to do, just go to Jesus with it. Jealousies. There's no room for jealousy. Jealousies will turn you into an emotional wreck. And you will become a person that you never really wanted to be. Jesus has come to Me with that. Same thing with lust. And don't think that's just a man's problem. Lust. And you can lust after a lot of things. Greed. You'll never get enough. With greed, you'll never have enough. And that's the crazy whirlwind cycle of it all. You'll never have enough. But with Christ, you have enough. You have everything in Christ. Everything in Christ. If your heart is unclean, and you, many of you know what I mean by if it's unclean, it will not give you rest until you deal with it. You have to work on that heart, and the only one that can work on a heart is Christ. Being vindictive. It's a very scary place to be. When you're being vindictive, I'm telling you, you're putting Jesus way over there. Because that's not the Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. When you got to get somebody back because they did something to you, and you're wishing bad upon somebody, on a brother, or you're wishing bad upon someone else, you're being vindictive. And they may have done you wrong, but I want to remind you that we need to leave room for God's judgment. God will take care of that. You need to give it to Christ because you will not have rest with it. Because we're not good with that. We're not supposed to carry that. Anger and bitterness. If you don't take care of anger, it'll turn into bitterness. If you don't take care of bitterness, it'll turn into hate. You need to give that. You will not have rest with that. You'll be a very ugly person. Jesus is coming down in a world where it's a complete mess, and he offers them a way through it. He's going to offer them a way through it. Didn't say I offer a way out of it, but a way through it. We got to remember, we ask Jesus to take so many things out of our lives. Jesus wants you to go through it so you can come on out on the outside, on the other side, stronger than you were when you first started. It's about strengthening you. But the only way to strengthen is only through Christ. Having a grudge, you will have no peace if you have a grudge. Jesus is speaking to a lot of people in these crowds. He's speaking to his disciples, and they all got their own problems. And he throws it all into one big piece. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What is causing you wearisome? What is your burdens? Holding on to bad things that has happened to you, and you won't let it go. But you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what so-and-so did to me when I was younger. Let me tell you something. I feel for you, but you are not the only one. Satan's been doing this and getting people, and people's been sinning against their own family members. People's been doing things, and people have been sinning and doing bad things to people ever since Cain struck and killed his own brother. If you hold a grudge and you hold things and you can't get through it, I'm telling you, you have a heart problem. The only way to work that out is to get right with Jesus. Jesus can heal your hardness. Jesus can work through that. He can work through that. He'll help you work through that. But if you're going to hold something back, let me tell you, I did some counseling here and there, and I want to tell you, and I don't mind it. I'll help people where I can. But when people want to bring up stuff, maybe 15 years ago I did a counseling piece, and somebody wanted to bring up stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago. And then within the same thing, they just talked about five or six things and stuff that happened way, way, way back when they were dating. Holding grudges. Holding on to the past. Not letting go. And I wonder why people struggle so much. We have this form where we want to say that we have Christ in our life. We want to let everybody know that we're trying, that things are okay. They're not okay. If you're holding things on from the past, it's not okay. Even if it was something done to you, and horrible things have been done to people, but you cannot get through it. Can I just give you a piece here? People that do counseling, they're messy too. People who do Christian counseling and Christian coaching, they're not perfect. They got messes in their own lives too. Now, we need them from time to time, but it's him. It is him. We got to quit looking everywhere else and start looking where we need to go to, and it's Jesus Christ. We need to go to him. And the thing is like, are you tired of carrying it? You tired of hiding it? You tired of putting a mask on your face? Let me tell you what Isaiah says. I love the Old Testament and New Testament. They mirror one another. You know why? Because it's the same God. It's the same God. The people in the Old Testament have same problems as people in the New Testament. People in the New Testament have same problems in the Old Testament. The key is God, Jesus. That's the key. It's always been the same answer. It's always been the same answer, right? Matthew tells us. Jesus tells us. Come to me, all of you who are weary, heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah says this in chapter 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. If you think you're going to get your life right in 5 years from now, you're fooling yourself. You just swallowed the big lie. Because if you say, I'm going to get my life better in 3-5 years, what you're really saying is, I like my mess right now, and I'll deal with it later. Let me tell you won't deal with it later. 5 years will become 10, and 10 years will become 20. Because we're not very good about fixing things in our lives. We're not very good about those things. This is why we struggle. This is why we're trying to get up our own Christian counseling, Christian coaching here. Because we believe this works. The world says push it away. We have very highly educated people. We have a better way of doing it. Accept all these ways of living. Accept all these ways. It's fine. Do what you want. God's word, there's a clash. There's a clash. And then we have to send people to places that we don't agree with in the morality. We don't agree with in word. We don't agree with, but they go there. We send even Christians there. And they get confused when they come back. Jesus is the only way. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his ways. Let him abandon his ways. And the sinful one his thoughts. See, God doesn't know just what you're doing. He knows your thoughts. Let me just say this for a moment. We all have sinful thoughts. There's a difference between embracing that thought and fighting that thought. There's a difference when you take it in and you get enjoyment out of it. Then a person who takes that thought and says, Lord, I don't know where that thought came from, but Lord, take it from my mind. I want to remind you, there's a difference between temptation and sin. But he says, let the wicked one abandon his way and sinful one his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. This is what we see all through Scripture. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. For the lost person, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Because God knows, Christ knows, the Holy Spirit knows what's beyond this life. And it is real. And they don't want you to go in the wrong direction. And for those that know Christ, God is ready to use. But if we're in those sinful things, he wants to work on us. So we need to return to the Lord. And then he says, so he may have compassion on him. God wants to give you compassion. But you got to return to him. You got to come to him. And he says, and to our God, for he will freely forgive. Isn't Jesus awesome? He forgives. It's here. He forgives. This is the Lord's declaration. For as, he kind of explains it. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. You will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided. Why are we pushing against the Lord? He tells us when we go, we're freely forgiven. His compassion wraps around us. He gives us that forgiveness. He shares that my ways are not your ways, my words are not your words. But the Lord overshadows all of our stuff. That when we do it, then all he has to do is send a word. And we are blessed. And we have joy. And we can walk away peacefully, listen to me, peacefully guided. Where once we were coming back to the Lord in our brokenness and our sin and our secrets and all the garbage and all the stuff that we have just from life, even if it's just worrisome or whatever it is, we come in and we have to return to the Lord because we took that stuff and tried to live it out ourselves and it don't work. So we start coming back to the Lord. We work it out with him. He forgives us. He shows us compassion. As we share it with him, as we walk away, we have a joy knowing that we've been with the Lord. And He guides us out together. Jesus said, now let me read it again. Now we understand. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And now we begin to understand what that verse means. And then he goes on and he says, all of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Jesus is offering people a new life, a fresh start in life, a real redo, a second chance at life. The sad part of it is a lot of people don't want it. A lot of people don't want it. But I also want to remind you, there's a lot of people, they haven't heard about it. They haven't heard about it. Because you're not sharing it. We're not sharing it. I want you to think about this when you go to work. Look at your people that you work around. Ask God to give you an understanding of your world, where you are. There's people that nobody in this building is going to know except for you. And if you are the only believer in that office or in that building or on that crew or whatever it is, you have a great responsibility to share what Jesus is sharing to the world. You don't have to go in there and beat them up with Jesus. You just go in there and start just let people know that you care. Give people the time of day. Start learning how to be a listener and not so much a talker. People got a lot to say. Open up a conversation. What do you think about everything that's going on? Yeah, they might get heated. People are angry. People are tired. But you should be different. You are maybe angry. You are maybe tired. But there's something inside of you that still gives a peace. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Holy Spirit. He gives you a peace with it. You don't have to agree with everything. We just need to follow the Lord. We might see some more people come to Christ. He says, my yoke is not easy. Learn from me. Learn how to handle this stuff differently than you used to. He says, for my yoke is easy. And he uses a word that he used in the beginning. And he says, my burden is light. This is the Halloween season, kind of. And people do a lot of pranks. And I was kind of checking a couple out on Facebook. Maybe laugh a few times. Sometimes you just got to laugh, right? You got to look at something stupid and just laugh, right? You got to laugh. I kept seeing some of the people would just come into a room and there'd be a stranger or something, and then they would just turn out the lights and everybody beginning to scream. I watched a couple of them, I laughed at them, but then I begin to look at it, it's like, wait a minute. When the lights go out, everybody seems to scream. Everybody's just scared. What do we tell you? Jesus says, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. People put on a lamp. We are supposed to be the light of the world. If our light is diminishing and we're not sharing the light, the world is just going chaotic. We need to pierce the darkness with the light of Christ and the gospel. So people can understand and know what this scripture means, that people can hear it and come to Christ. Great for you. Good for me. For those who know Christ, you've taken this. You understand it. You've got it. If you've got Jesus, you got salvation. Good for you. I'm happy. Rejoicing for you. But what about everybody else? What about everybody else? You're bold enough to put a name on a board. But are we bold enough to share it? Now, I know cultivating the gospel can take time. Cultivating the gospel can take time. I understand that. You plant the seed. You may get to water it. Somebody else may get to water it. But God is the one that gives the growth. But you at least got to start planting some seeds. If you're a gardener, anybody here, I know some of you garden. If you don't plant seeds, you don't get a harvest. I'll tell you why we're not planting seeds. I'll tell you why we're not watering. Because we stop taking our own problems to Jesus. And they become heavy. And they become what's in our lives. And we become consumed by our own problems. And when you got all that stuff going on, all that junk in life going on, you don't have time. You can't handle anything else. You can't. Jesus says, take my yoke and learn from me. What he's saying is like, follow me and let me teach you my ways. So that we can understand that we understand Scripture, where if we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. That if we hear His voice, that we are not to harden our hearts, that we are not to give up. We're not to do those things. We're to encourage. There's so much that God has in His Word that when we begin to learn it and begin to express it and begin to understand, know the power of the Scriptures, we become this very strong lighthouse. Wherever we go, we're using the light of the Gospel. We're shining it everywhere. And sometimes you don't even have to open your mouth. It's how you live. It's when you go to dinner or lunch and you pray at the table when everybody else you know just came out of church on Sunday and fill up the restaurant and you can't find a one table praying and giving God thanks. But you do it anyway. You need to do it. Because there's somebody in that crowd that wants to do it. But they feel awkward. There's a little bit of that feel, maybe feeling ashamed. And they're caught in between, not sure if I don't want to be embarrassed or whatever. I want to tell you this. You do it because what you do can be an encouragement to someone else. And even when you share the gospel at work, don't say, I've already shared the gospel with people. It's okay. Keep working it. Keep working the grounds. Keep working it. You don't know what God is doing with them. You don't know what God is doing around you and through you. Just be available. But if you got all this other stuff we listed, listen, I think it's really hard right now. That first list I listed with all the crime and the violence and people just, you know, people want to buy a house, can't buy a house. I mean, it's just a mess. But then you got your personal stuff thrown on top of that stuff. The only way a person can make it through is one that has peace with God. Salvation through Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead their daily life so that you can rest in peace when you sleep and you wake up and you're okay. Satan is rearing his head up and his army is doing all kinds of things. But I want to remind you, it's nothing compared to the goodnesses of God. And the power of Satan has nothing on the power of God. For what Satan has was given to God. God has given him power. But that power is limited. Well, God's power is not limited. There is things that are impossible for Satan to do. One, he can't steal your salvation. And I don't believe that he can touch you if you're a child of God without God knowing about it. Satan is limited. God is unlimited. The world is broken. God's heaven and his future is amazing. It's perfection. Let's quit letting the world lead us and let's start leading in the world. And be the light in the world. Start focusing on those things that God wants us to focus on. There's a lot of people that are hurting. Why do you think God gave us all these pieces about the man with the paralyzed hand and the servant, the paralytic that was dropped down through a roof, and the woman at the well, the adulterous woman, and the blind man, and all them. They were all people that were trying to figure life out. They were all broken. But when they came across Jesus, Jesus was able to do something with every single one of them. When you draw to Jesus, Jesus does something every single time. Even if he says, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor and then follow me. Well, why? Because Jesus knew he wanted to come in with limitations. You cannot follow Jesus with limitations. Come to me. Jesus says, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The sad part of it is I've given you, the good part is I've given you scripture and its meaning and context of it. The sad part of it is someone leaves today, taking all their junk with them, walking away from Jesus, not wanting the salvation, or walking away from Jesus thinking that person can handle all this stuff. Well, I will say this. If you can handle it, you wouldn't have it today. And if you're going through something, and you come to Christ and you say, why do I got? Let me tell you something. I want to remind you, Jesus is with you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil saying he abandoned you, that Jesus abandoned you. Jesus don't abandon his people. People abandon Jesus. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. We got to learn to come to Jesus with all of our stuff. Everything that we are, everything that we have. I would say this. It's time to turn back to Jesus. He's waiting for you. And he expects you to bring all your stuff. As ugly as it may be and as heavy as it may be, he's real good with it. He's real good with it. Father, as we get ready to move into the second, this next part of our service, I pray that your Spirit has used this word, these words today, the scripture, that it would sink into the hearts of our spirits, that we may do what you'd have to do with it. We would trust you with it, not just with our heart, but with all the things of our lives. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go.